Thanks for tuning in to What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Barbie Angel, Jay Sanders, both new panelists, and Fred Mills, who's been around for a little while.
What it is, Joe?
Hey, it is election season, and today we're talking about the intersection of music and politics and some notable artists who have turned politicians.
You know, it's such a really interesting concept because one thing politics and music both have in common is the ability to influence people and influence society and culture. So I don't really think this is a differentiated concept. I mean, there's definitely parallels going on here. We've got lists of people. Fred's got a long list. You know, Jon Stewart has his rally to restore sanity. So he's out there, you know, he's gone from being Comedy Central's go-to news guy, which is, I still think is hilarious that a comedy guy has become almost the voice of clarity in this crazy news world that we live in. You know, Jello Biafra is long known for his political activism. You know, Bono from U2, he's not actually a politician, but might as well be, because the amount of power that he wields, you know, with his microphone and with his band is enough to massively influence people.
Bono's holding out for Pope.
Yeah, Bono wants to be the Pope. Yeah, that's...
I thought Bono was the Pope. I'm so confused.
The Pope or God?
Do they have elections for
that? Oh, that's right, God.
it is a fertile topic. I mean, and it's not really an obscure topic either. And you had an interesting little tidbit that I think local listeners will find very interesting, since we're about to go to the polls.
Oh, absolutely. My very, very good friends, the Mad Tea Party, have had this crazy... It's been a crazy year for him ever since the rise of the Tea Party movement, you know, in the United States, and all these people. They're very impassioned and they're very political, and they're called the Tea Party. And so you have the Tea Party, the political, you have the Mad Tea Party musical group. I mean, you know, Amy and Jason have political leanings, but for the most part, their music's about having a great time, playing ukuleles, playing rock and roll. And they definitely have had political undertones, but they're not out there trying to, like, take over the world or anything. And here they come along, the Tea Party, they get all these crazy conservative followers, and it's just like turned into the snowball thing. So they actually just released a video called "Hey Tea Baggers, Leave Our Party Alone."
Ooh, and zing.
It's a doozy. But yeah, it's all about, we're just here to have fun, you know, why it's all crazy. And if you want to check it out, you can check it out at leaveourpartyalone.com, where you can see the video.
There is a lot of emotions run pretty high, and the perfect example of that, kind of queuing off the Tea Party thing, is a video of Mo Tucker, the former drummer for the Velvet Underground. A video surfaced of her at a Tea Party rally almost a year ago, but the video clip went viral. She was being interviewed by a TV reporter, and she made some comments that would make you think that she was really vehemently anti-Obama, very right-wing, and it just caused kind of a real stir on the internet, especially among rock fans, who automatically assume that if you're rock and roll, you're left-leaning, which ain't always the case, I hasten to add. So Mo finally surfaced just the other day, did an interview with a St. Louis paper. She did an email interview, and she clarified her stance, and she said, yeah, you know, I'm not that happy with the way the government has been operating lately, but I'm not a member of the Tea Party either. She basically said, I think for myself, if I want to make protests, I send out emails and postcards, and I'm just a little stunned that people would automatically assume this of me without even bothering to ask me or know what I'm all about. So, yeah, people get a little crazy during election years.
Well, that's the nature of the soundbite media, though.
Yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
what you just described. Yeah. Nobody has – context doesn't exist anymore.
That's right. Yeah.
You get 10 seconds, one phrase with – don't even know what the guy was talking about, but it's a phrase with a statement. You know, sarcasm doesn't even really get to exist in the media because you can't make a statement and then have it know that it's going to be replayed or treated in the way that you intended it mm-hmm. to be heard. It's crazy.
Yeah, as an avid fan of Lewis Carroll, I'm wondering if they're going to rewrite the Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass books to reflect more a current political undertone as opposed to the original.
That's
the whole Mad Tea Party
thing. Take away
scene
the whole Tea
that.
Party thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and if the Mad Hatter will then become
the March,
you know,
March Hare is
a write in candidate, possibly. know, the Dormouse.
Off of their heads.
Exactly.
I always thought. Probably my favorite in terms of weird intersections of music and politics, my favorite example, not necessarily that I'm a fan of the man or his music or his background, was Lee Atwater, the Republican strategist who, I think he was the RNC chairman at one point, and he helped kind of forge the Southern strategy, which used elements of veiled racism and other kind of knee-jerk strategies to pull Democrats away from the Democratic Party and bring them into the Republican fold. And yet Lee Atwater was a very fine blues musician in his own right, recorded an album with that called Red Hot and Blue that had B.B. King and Isaac Hayes on it, of all things. So it just goes to show, I mean, you think you can read tell a book by its cover, but sometimes you got to open up the pages and see what's really inside.
Well, I mean, that's pretty funny. That just actually reminded me of something. I was flipping through the channels the other night, came across Fox News, and there's Mike Huckabee standing there with a guitar, singing a song, like an anti-Pelosi song, with a whole studio band behind him, made up of all of the people that work at Fox News, and it was this whole crazy thing, exactly what we're talking about. And, you know, and you can take it to the other side where, you know, Bill Clinton's performance on the saxophone.
Yeah, on Arsenio Hall.
John Kerry, his garage band. In some areas, John Kerry's garage band became an issue in that particular election, which kind of blew my mind. I mean, who cares what he was doing as a teenager, as long as he wasn't, you know, like riding in the streets and doing other unsavory things. I guess being in a garage band can be kind of unsavory, though, huh? I think my all-time favorite in terms of respect artist would be Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil. Midnight Oil was very active politically, ecologically, always wore their causes on their sleeves. And Garrett later on went to become the Australian Minister for Environmental Protection. He had previously been involved with the Nuclear Disarmament Party, and he actually became a member of the House of Representatives in Australia in 2004. So that's a guy taking his initial activism all the way to the bank. And to me, that is probably the ultimate in what, you know, people think if you're a musician, we go back to the whole Dixie Chicks thing, you know, shut up and sing. If they're musicians and celebrities, they obviously aren't qualified to have a voice in this. But there are obviously some free thinkers and some people that are intellectually gifted enough and have enough political savvy and enough personality charisma to turn it into a whole second career.
Well, I mean, you have to look at it as far as, you know, the actual artist is concerned. They see that they have this impact and say, look, I have the choice of what I can do. I can either make, you know, these 40 clubs all really popular, you know, by going out there drinking every night or whatever, or I can just get a lot of dates or whatever it is, or I can actually do something with this power that I have. I know
that a lot of musicians actually feel like it's almost a moral responsibility if they have a strong belief that they need to use their audience and their voice because they are granted this amazing gift and this power to actually be able to communicate to a large amount of people very easily and through the vehicle of music, which is such a emotionally easy way to talk and express ideas. You know, so when they're given that responsibility, they feel like it's a need to communicate what they believe and affect their change in the world because it's actually a way of communicating these ideas.
Who should we say is the biggest seller of all artists turn politicians or vice versa? I'd have to say it's got to be Governor Jimmy Davis.
Hey, good Jimmy.
Who wrote You Are My Sunshine, among other hits.
Yes.
And he was governor multiple times, mm-hmm. if I'm correct. But, you know, Sonny Bono sold a few records, too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Robert Byrd, the great Virginia senator who passed away not long ago, he was a fiddler and even appeared on the Grand Ole Opry. I think back to it was John Hall of Orleans. Was their hit? You're Still the One?
Mm-hmm.
He became a very respected New York congressman. As a matter of fact, there was an incident during the Bush and McCain campaign both the Bush campaign in 2004 and the McCain campaign in 2008, where they tried to use Orleans Still the One. And so here's this sitting congressman from New York saying, hold on, that's my song, guys. And you're on the other side of the aisle, so to speak. You mentioned Jello Biafra. Punk rock's got to have a voice, so why not?
Isn't that where it came from?
Yeah.
Exactly where it came
from. Citizen Jello, man. He ran for, mayor of San Francisco and came pretty darn close in a very crowded field, I believe.
Boy, that would have been funny.
Yeah, Gilberto Gil, the great Tropicalia pioneer, became the Brazilian minister of culture. I saw him speak one time, and he was talking about that. There again, it's an example of someone putting their calls where their mouth is.
And then we've got in the modern world, in today's reality, Wyclef Jean going down to Haiti.
Trying to be the president of Haiti.
Trying to be the president of Haiti. I mean, it's like,
I believe the courts determined that he was not a resident full-time enough to qualify. I believe that's why they booted him out. But that was, all props to him for at least trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. Talking about artists turn politicians today on Public Radio. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Barbie Angel, Jay Sanders, and Fred Mills. Until next time.